I'm Christopher Lydon, and this is a side conversation in our series on higher education in the era of the $200,000 BA, or for 4 years in music or drama school at the Berklee College of Music, say, or Emerson College in Boston. For the perspective of experience and solid accomplishment, we ask two professionals in the middle of enviable careers what they had learned in and out of school, where they'd be looking for training today, how much they'd pay for it if they were starting out again. Chris Cooper is a Hollywood hero in supporting roles. He won an Academy Award for one of them in Spike Jonze's adaptation. His wife, Marianne Leone, played the gangster mama, Joanne Moltisanti, in The Sopranos on HBO. They spoke with us in mid-May 2014 at their home south of Boston. Marianne Leone, Chris Cooper, as mature artists look back on school, lack of school, debts for school, what's the lesson of your experience?
I had a simple state school, went to the University of Missouri, and I think I got serious about the business of acting on my second semester year of my sophomore year. But before that, I was constantly in the theater, offering my services at all times, any time of the day, just trying to fill myself up with the whole atmosphere of not just acting, but the whole process of mounting a stage play, which brings to mind how much I appreciated everybody's input. Painters, carpenters, people that hung the lights, people that stage managed. And I didn't get into acting until a handful of years before where I had worked backstage. And but university, I think, gave me a great foundation. Did plays that young people could relate to,
like
Ionesco, When You're Coming Back, Red Rider, Tennessee Williams, Arthur Miller, Edward Albee. Those are the playwrights that really got me interested in the business.
Marianne,
I went to a state school too, and I had no debt when I left because I paid my own way through. I went to UMass Boston, and I did major in theater, even though we had a really nascent, theater department then. It was just at the beginning. We had this stage where if you exited stage left, you had to stay at stage left for the rest of the entire play. And it was basic, shall we say. I honestly feel that I didn't really get my true education as an actor until I got to New York, and I studied with Wynn Hanman, who was from the Neighborhood Playhouse. That's when I really got training, was in New York.
What are kids getting in the professional art schools today? How does school prepare them for that world?
I would say I don't think it does.
Yeah, I was thinking back today. I was thinking how nice it would have been in my senior year at university if they'd have had a week's worth of class about a simple resume, picture and resume. I don't know how they do it now. But in New York, we walked the streets going agent to agent office, dropping off pictures and resumes. And it sounds very antiquated, but that's how you did it back then. And when I hit New York, I didn't know how to do that.
What about the unions? I would have liked somebody to come in and say, this is how you join a union, that you're not going to work until you're in the union, and this is how you get in the union. Nobody prepared us for that. I mean, these are practical applications. These are things about survival. Also, the idea of a survival job. I know that everybody expects instant gratification, but there's often years of working at some job that you really don't want to be working at. So what are you going to do? What's your survival job? In Chris's case, master carpenter. In my case, I used the fact that I knew how to write. So I wrote copy for video.
A student beginning in acting is going to really have to face a lot of rejection day to day. That's part of the business. Be prepared for it. Be prepared for it.
Chris Cooper, you're an Oscar winner. You're a famous face in many movies. When you walk through an airport and people come up and say, I want to do what you do, what do you tell them?
Well, I look at their shoulders and I say, you probably recognize me from film. What you don't know is that I did 15 years of theater before film. And their question is, well, yes, I want to do what you do. How do you do it? But when I say that 15 years of theater, I see their shoulders drop. And what's not being said is, it took you that long before you got, you know, in quotes, recognition. I think there's an instant gratification that, you know, people imagine happens with this business, and it doesn't.
What else do the kids need to know about a career in the arts?
I do think that training is really important, but then I think that I think that you place a lot of import on training at the very beginning, and then you kind of, after you've been in the doing it for a while, you kind of let go of the training and you say, okay.
As a student starting out, of course, you're going to read everything on Stanislavski, An Actor Creates, you know, How to Create a Character. You're going to read everything on Lee Strasberg. You're going to do the exercises, one by one, the sense memory exercises. They're going to be overwhelming initially because you're working on one exercise at a time. Over the years, all that becomes distilled, and it becomes something you would not think of not doing in preparation for a character. But I think, I dare say, to answer your question, you can do all the training, you can do all those exercises, you can work your butt off, but it comes down to the moment of action. And can you deliver at that moment? That's what it comes down to. I make no bones about it. I run on fear. I run on fear of failure. When I get a script, I want it as early as I possibly can get it. I'm going to be working on that role every night. It's just my security blanket. It's the way I like to do it. And after they say, you know, action and cut, I don't want to have any regrets. I want to give the best performance I possibly can. So it's my dedication. It's my work ethic. It's my relentless trying to do my best job.
When you go on to a job with a young actor, can you critique his training? What do you look for?
Working with young actors who have had no stagecraft or training, they go kind of cold after two or three takes. They have a tendency to burn out. Some actors have a tendency to not stick to the words of the script. John Sayles can justify why he has written each word, and every new actor that comes and tries to monkey with his words, he'll straighten them out very quickly and say, this is why I've written the words this way. It's not a criticism of young actors, but there's a reason the script was written the way it was. Stick with it and find justification in those words.
I think when people look at film, they think that it's all improvisational. Even when you look at the greats, like De Niro doing Mean Streets with Harvey Keitel, it looks like they're making it up on the spur of the moment. The thing is, these guys are trained. If you really just improv, a lot of the time it's just crap. So what I think people don't understand is how much training goes into being able to reproduce a scene over and over again and make it fresh as if it were the first time, or to bring it a million different ways. Chris talks about working with Meryl in August Osage County. She would come and bring 9 different versions of what she was going to do.
Do some stage work. Make your mistakes night after night on stage. Build a technique that you can depend on for acting. Because when you're doing it on a film, it's there for, you know, eternity. You know, make your mistakes on stage. People can wait for you. It's not going to be the end of the world.
You know, I hear kids say, not that they're going to improv, but I have such passion for this art, whether it's music or poetry or acting.
You need the passion to sustain the years of rejection and no money. You need the passion.
I don't know how this has happened over the history of film and acting and all, but it's a standout for me now to work with young actors who have gone directly into the business. And when I say directly into the business, excuse me for saying so, but they have very little life experience to bring to their work.
What do you mean by life experience, Chris?
I mean, life experience, like my father and I raised Register Hereford in Kansas in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. Oddly enough, that has served me very well in all of my all of the Western films that I've done. I have spent the night at 2 in the morning delivering a calf in the middle of winter. I've worked very closely with cattle to the point that I know them as individuals, working the country, being very, very physical in laying out literally miles of barbed wire fencing in a pasture, and building work chutes and loading chutes and pens, holding pens, and sleeping out under the stars. I mean, this stuff for the horse trainer in Seabiscuit, for the miniseries Lonesome Dove. It's paid off very well.
Come back to the kids at Emerson and Berkeley today. The ones I meet are fired with passion. Some of them have real talent, but they're also fighting a tremendous burden of debt and economic uncertainty. How much can you carry without, A, being driven nuts by it, but B, driven to do jobs that you don't want to do, that aren't worthy of a promising career?
I feel for these kids. I mean, this is not something that we, either of us, experienced. I mean, we were very lucky in that. I would not feel capable of giving that kind of advice. All I can express is my sympathy for somebody who has to carry that much of a load of debt. And I don't, I mean, for myself, it would kill me to have that much debt. I don't think I would have been able to do that. I come from a really blue-collar family. The idea of loading that much debt would be impossible for me to even understand. You know, I'm the first person to graduate from high school in my family, not to mention college.
Come back to the values, good and bad, that kids are getting out of MFA programs across the board. What do you see?
You know, I have published a book. I have written essays and had them published in the Globe and other places. And I've never had an MFA program, and I'm scared of that. It scares me, the idea of teaching creativity. Even our teacher, Neighborhood Playhouse, taught us a technique, but he said, look, I'm not going to be able to teach you talent. I'm not going to be able to teach you creativity. I can teach you how to do it, but I can't teach talent. So, I don't know. I'm kind of suspicious of the whole MFA thing, but I wouldn't know, because God knows I never would have been able to afford an elite school.
How would you advise a high school kid about the choice of a college to do the kinds of things you do?
Oh, for our thing, I would say go to a state school for your undergraduate. Absolutely. I mean,
talk about what to get away from the financial burden.
Seriously. And even a state school is expensive now, from what I hear. But state, yeah. I mean, if you're from a working class family, if you're not from an ultra rich family that can write you a check for your education, don't take on enormous debt. You're going to be taking on some debt anyway if you're choosing the arts. You know, the word every parent longs to not hear. I think you would have to weigh, how much of a leg up am I going to have? Am I going to make contacts at this school? Is this going to save me money in future when I, you know, eventually move to LA or New York, on the money I would have spent refining my language, learning to move, all of that sort of thing? I think you have to weigh and measure both of those and see, is it worth it? How much debt I take on versus how much, if I pursue this, how much is this going to give me a leg up? I will now have stagecraft. I will now know how to do stage fighting. I will know how to, you know, lose
dance.
My accent, dance, sing, all of those things.
I find it fascinating. I don't know that we know yet why Emerson and Berkeley are both thriving, building new buildings, expanding in this economy, in this little town of Boston.
Everybody wants to be an actor, because people think that you're, you know, it's a way of prolonging childhood forever. When you're 12, talk to any 12-year-old girl, they all want to be actors. And celebrity, we live in a total celebrity culture that does nothing but punch that stuff up. I'm not surprised they're thriving.
But it sounds like a lively sign. Maybe there's very good news here about all the kids that are putting their hearts and their fantasies and their passions first.
Well, I hope so. I mean, I check back with me when actors aren't replaced by holograms and all we see are like big budget movies of explosions and heads blowing up. Then you can tell me that the culture is much better for the thriving of Emerson and Berkeley.
And Marianne and I have, unfortunately, over the years said, I wonder what happened to all our classmates in acting class, because we don't see them. We see one or two out of a class of 35, 40, you know.
What did happen?
They found other careers, definitely.
I believe that's what must have happened.
This is hugely interesting, and you're very, very generous to share it with us. And with the kids who are in school, too. Marianne Leone and Chris Cooper, thank you so much.
Thank you. It's great.
Thanks. I feel like an imposter since I've only done The Sopranos and like Three Stooges and a few other weird things. But
Mary McGrath produced this conversation with the actors Chris Cooper and Marianne Leone. Kunal Jasti recorded and edited it. Max Larkin and Matt Ellison coached us all the way. These conversations are never over until listeners, that's you, add a comment on our website, radioopensource.org. I'm Christopher Lydon. Thanks to each and all for being part of the Radio Open Source podcast project.